Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Herahog. I'm Sean Cantwell. And my, the state of college basketball, let me tell you, especially in this state, apparently is good and alive and well. A lot of things that happened yesterday that I didn't expect. I half expected State, admittedly, to lose to, who are they playing, Mississippi College of Dentistry or whatever. But somehow, they blew out Mississippi State, so they'll be going on to play North Carolina Saturday. But the big story of the tourney thus far,
yeah. My,
we were wrong about Oakland, weren't we?
Totally wrong. We had, and to our credit, I mean, Kentucky has been like the perennial Elite Eight kind of team. Oakland, the Golden Grizzlies, they...
So you're saying we jinxed them?
Yes.
We jinxed Kentucky?
Yes, we did.
I will take full credit for this.
What are they, the Wildcats? Well, their team name sucks. Golden Grizzlies are so much better. So, yeah, we were wrong. And rightfully so. I mean, I'm glad we're wrong. Grizzlies are moving on to the next round, which is the mediocre 32 or something like that.
I believe that's what they call it, yes.
Something like that. The aluminum 32 or something like that.
That sounds right, and I'm entirely willing to go along with it. Yeah, they come in as a 14 seed to face a Kentucky team that was expected to at least do a little bit more than they have in recent history. So far, the John Calipari arrival there has not bolstered that team's fortune any.
Right.
And honestly, this might be enough to get him bounced from that gig, which makes me wonder if he might be a contender then for another team that currently has a vacancy at head basketball coach, say in the Big Ten in the state of Michigan.
Oh, I know which one. I know which one. Ooh.
Yes, Adam.
Michigan.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, not that he's really done great things in his most recent tenure at Kentucky, notably, like I said, getting bounced by an Oakland Golden Grizzlies team that hasn't, I don't believe to date, ever won a game in the round of 64.
I mean, they've never won a game, period. It was just kind of like the gimme game. It's like, all right, let's so-and-so play.
It certainly seemed like that'd be the case. This is now, I believe, the third time they have made the... Is it the third time or third or fourth that Oakland has been in this spot? They came in 2010 as a 14 seed against Pittsburgh. They lost. 2011, they come in as a 14 seed against Texas, and they lost by like 4 points. Apparently, you had them beat. Those were just regular season games. No one cares. So this is like the third time the Golden Grizzlies have made it to the big dance, and this time they actually won. And they did it off of what is close to a record in three-pointers by some cat by the name of Jack Golke, who I couldn't have told you that was prior to yesterday, but put up 10 three-pointers yesterday against the Wildcats. Got to give props for due there, man. That an impressive win. I mean, anytime a 14 seed pulls off a win in the opening round, it's impressive.
But. I mean, but that's kind of one of the reasons why March Madness is so fun, because you can get a 14 beaten, was it 2-3?
And we've seen a 15 seed win once, at least.
I mean, every single year there's that one upset that just blows everybody's mind. It's exciting. You don't see that very often in professional sports. You don't see it in basketball, you don't see it in baseball. Sometimes in hockey, every once in a while, when they used to do the 1-8 in the conferences.
Which they should go back to doing that, I will argue to my dying day that
100% agree. I'm tired of seeing the same matchups every year. But, I mean, when you're talking about this is where the Cinderella story term comes from, is from NCAA basketball.
You're absolutely right, and it's one of the beauty of college basketball. It's something that I worry about, especially now that we're in an era of realignment and the big conferences trying to kind of team up together to force everybody else out, like what's going on with the college football playoff, where they're trying to get
Everybody.
Well, the Big Ten and the SEC need to have at least five berths out of the 14. You know, five per conference. And no one else is going to get in. Like, they're trying to kind of almost, like, squeeze the group of five teams out entirely. Like, that's the kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, and you also know those teams, those Cinderella stories don't happen in college football so much. Like, even a team that if one of these undefeated, like, group of five teams were to make it into the playoff, they get slaughtered. And there's just seemingly no way around that. Yes. But in college basketball, this is an annual occurrence, and certainly between the Cinderella stories, which we enjoy and we love, and certainly compared to the NBA too, where
it's a lot of fun.
You
to
can
watch.
Predict
yeah.
the first round, like you can predict the first round in any given year of the NBA playoffs.
Oh, absolutely!
Every single time, like it's not even fun to do brackets on that because like you know exactly what team's going to pull out the win ultimately.
Yep.
But here, I mean, it's single elimination. It's the most pure form of the sport. Win or go home. And there's nothing like it in any other sport. And you know Vegas loves it because you know someone out there, there's like one person out there who actually put a bet on Oakland to win. And that's the only person.
A wheelbarrow full of money.
Because, you know, everybody else was betting, oh, Kentucky's got this easily.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Vegas odds were for Kentucky, but it's probably a lot.
I imagine, like, you're probably talking, like, double-digit points. Like, I'm looking at the Saturday matchup for Oakland. They're going to be taking on North Carolina State, and NC State is favored by 6.5. I'm sure Kentucky was favored by far, far more than that.
More than likely.
Like, I would expect at least 10, 12-point favorite, something like that for that game. But that's the beauty of college basketball. That's why I worry sometimes when I see all the realignment going on in football, that I worry that we're going to have, like, a couple of these conferences try and break away and do their own thing. Because, I mean, it's been threatened over on the football side of things. Like
13.5, by the way. Kentucky was favored by 13.5.
But, like, you wouldn't get these upsets, like, because we've seen 15s beat 2s. Like, we saw a 1 seed get upset in the first round about 6 years ago. Like, it does occasionally happen.
Yep. Well, absolutely. And that's what makes it fun.
Yes. Like, that's why the March Madness is, like, the biggest, probably the biggest, like, gambling event too. And yes, I know it seems like everything gets tied to gambling these days, but I mean it's kind of unavoidable. Like all the major sports leagues have gotten in bed with it, but I know people who every year will go out to Vegas to specifically just to go and bet on all those crazy games and, you know, try and pick an upset here and there. Like there are people who will schedule their march around that sort of thing. I mean, now you don't necessarily have to go to Vegas for it, but it's just It is kind of a big part of, for a lot of people, the enjoyment of the magic of March Madness. And there's people like me that couldn't possibly pick a correct bet on a team with, you know, playing with house money. So I just enjoy watching things like this happen.
That's absolutely true.
So it'll be interesting to see. Like I think Oakland could very well knock off NC State. I mean, you went and shocked the world beating the Wildcats. This should be...
That's a shot in the arm for him, is it not?
A huge shot in the arm for them. Like, this really cements Greg Campy's legacy as head coach there, because he's been there for, I believe, since sometime in the 50s. And... he has.
Where's the peach baskets? I don't know what's going on here.
I mean, he literally has been at this school for 40 years. And, like, while he does make the tourney from time to time, this is the first time he's ever actually won a game in the Division I tournament, playing in the Horizon League, where I don't think a single school out of that league has ever actually attained a win in the tourney ever. So, like, you sealed quite the legacy for yourself in making it that far and beating a school that is traditionally a college football powerhouse in the first round. So, like, anything you get from here is gravy, but I think you could beat NC State. I think you could very well make it to the Sweet 16. I would not put that out of the realm of possibility.
Go Grizzlies.
You just you'll love to see that. Quite frankly, I think I give them more odds to beat NC State than I do for the Spartans to beat North Carolina on Saturday. I don't feel that confident in that one.
Tar Heels? No. Sorry, Sparty.
As much as I'd love to see it happen, but Carolina's only favored by 3.5, so, well, hope springs eternal, I guess. Much to get to today. Don't go anywhere. It is happy hour, and we'll talk some wings next. Stick around. Solid state weather for the rest of the afternoon. This weather is 100% BS. You're looking at probably at least another inch or so of snow over the course of the afternoon today. High getting up to around 35. Tonight, also a winter weather advisory in effect till midnight for whatever that's worth. Snow this evening, giving way to mostly cloudy conditions late with a low of 22. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine with a high of 34 and a low of 17. Then for Sunday, sunny with a few afternoon clouds with a high of 38 and a low of 28. Before Monday comes, it hits 50 and all this crap melts anyway. 30 right now in Flint, 31 in the Tri-Cities, 28 in lovely downtown Lapeer under cloudy skies and snow with Colony House and Cannonballers, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and I finally, at long last, have an excuse to actually bust out the music again, because over the last couple games, we finally appear to have a competent team here in Detroit again. So, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. They won last night, and they won in convincing fashion, your Detroit Red Wings.
Yep.
Beating 6-3.
Against the New York Islanders, who are kind of in the same boat as the Wings. So, good to see them beat the Isles at the Little Caesars Arena. Two goals from Andrew Kopp. Two goals from Dylan Larkin, who...
I thought you said he wasn't playing.
I did. I was told he was not going to be there Thursday. I was told he was not going to be there Saturday. I was also thinking that Oakland University was going to lose. And apparently, yesterday's show should just be scrubbed because we were wrong all the way around.
Just completely stricken from the record. I'm fine with this.
But your second star of the game, one Christian Fisher. One goal, two assists. This guy could not be stopped. Yeah. And what if I'm... It happens. But yeah, I mean, you beat a really hungry team like the New York Islanders and got solidified yourself in a playoff spot. But...
For now.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you kind of talked about it in your opening, is we weren't sure what this team's going to be like. They go through long stretches where they can't be beat, and next thing you know, they're being beat by everybody. This team is not built to win a Stanley Cup. They don't have that boxer mentality where, okay, you got to go the full distance. They're not Rocky. They're not running up the steps. You're going to see situations where this young, relatively young team strings together a couple of wins, and then, for whatever reason, they're going to string together a couple of losses.
Very streaky team.
Yeah,
has been that way all year.
Yes. I mean, is it an improvement from the last couple of seasons? Absolutely. But anybody who thinks that, oh, they're going to make the playoffs, oh, they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals, pump the brakes a little bit. Okay, this is not that team. It will be that team.
It is now that Dylan Larkin's back.
Yeah. That did help, though, didn't it?
It really did.
I mean, he brings a shot to the arm of that team. I mean, I would say it's good for negotiations, but he signed that contract that's going to, I think it's between now and 2052.
That sounds all right.
Something like that. So, you know what it does? It solidifies the idea to me that he is the captain of these Detroit Red Wings.
And I know you for a long time were not convinced that that was going to be the case.
It was a very crowded bandwagon for that because, I mean, it was almost like he was giving it to it because it was like, oh, I guess, I mean, who else are we going to give the captaincy to?
Well, apparently for a while, just the answer was nobody.
And we went with three A's, but they gave it to him. And okay, let's see what you do. He is a different captain than we're used to. We're used to the strong player, quiet, don't mix things up kind of player. Yzerman, Zetterberg, Lidstrom. He's not that.
He's not
your dad's Red Wings captain. But when he's out of the lineup, which we just saw, the team is kind of adrift.
They don't seem to, they just don't function as well. It doesn't work without him for some reason.
Well, the question is up center ice. You take out Larkin. A lot of people are saying that Compher is not the answer. Andrew Kopp is not the answer. But I mean, this is also a stopgap because you've got, I think it was like Marco Kasper. He's a center, I believe. You got some guys coming up through the system there. But I mean, you can't really give Kopp any flack because he scored two goals for you last night.
Yeah, you can't really take away from what he did certainly last night. And even on the season, he's got 12 goals and 20 assists on the year. Like, you can't sit there and say he's just not, you know, hasn't been worth it at all, which, although for what it's worth, those are the same numbers right about that Rasmussen has put up. And
Rasmussen has swung for the fences this year. He has done a great job. He's actually learning how to use that big body. I don't know what was happening the previous years, but it's just like he's come out of his cocoon.
No, absolutely.
He's blossoming into the hockey player that we all thought he would.
Oh, without a doubt. But yeah, Larkin, when you say he's not the what you expect out of your coach, like you certainly seem to see him mixing up, and him and DeBrincat both,
yeah,
have been getting in there and getting more, you know, they're more prone to fighting,
a little bit more
physical.
And which is kind of scary because Alex DeBrincat is like 4'9" or something like that. I mean, he's an undersized kind of guy.
Yeah, you really can't afford to have him get in fights and get injured, because then you're in an absolute nightmare.
Yep.
And that is unfortunately kind of the problem you run into a little bit. And it's why I know a lot of people have been calling for, you know, someone with a more physical presence on this roster. But
everybody has. Sean, we just need to get a Bob Probert.
Let's just waltz on down to the Bob Probert store and get us one of those,
shall we? The new 2025 models are already, we got to get rid of all these 2024 models of Bob Proberts. It's not happening, kids. Calm down. There's a reason why Bob Probert was held in such high regard, because they don't make them very often.
Well, I know a lot of people would be fine with something like a Ryan Reeves or Tom Wilson or someone of that.
Tom Wilson is about as close as you're going to get to a modern-day Bob Probert, but even he's getting on in years. They need to find that one other guy. The problem is in like Bantam hockey and Mite hockey, or whatever the names are, there's one that's called Midget hockey. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. But they don't teach fighting. They don't teach the physicality of the game. They teach finesse. They want you stick handling and passing, which makes
all
sense.
All is important, certainly.
Absolutely. But the whole physical part, the bringing up tapes of like Marty McSorley, Tony Twist. Yeah,
right.
Unfortunately, that's not happening. So you're not going to see a whole lot of, I'm not going to say cement heads, I'm going to say enforcers that are coming up through the leagues. Every once in a while, you do get a Ryan Reeves, and this one, this Matt Kempf that from was it New York Rangers?
Yes,
he's making a lot of headlines. Basically, he's been suspended more games than he's been playing. That's because the NHL's not ready for a player like that.
Well, that's
not anymore.
That's the other problem, is that the league has cracked down on that so much that those guys aren't really allowed to exist and do what they do for the most part, because like the league is so quick to suspend guys now over things that would have been entirely kosher, say, 20 years ago.
Kosher when Koser was involved, yes.
Or even like more recently than that, probably. But it does seem like there's been a turn.
Yeah. Matt Kemp, he's got a good game for himself, but he needs to calm down. Stop with the hits to the head. This is to keep people safe, but I mean, be the enforcer. Don't be the goon. Don't be the cement head. There's a big difference.
Yeah, one of those there's just simply not a place for on rosters anymore. Matt Rempe.
Rempe.
Yeah, there's just not room for guys who can't do both, really. And so far in his 11 games up, he's got a goal and an assist. We'll see if that if that's something that develops over time. Because, yeah, it seems like they called him up specifically for that role that we just talked about that doesn't exist really in this league anymore.
It should. The league has shown that there's room for that kind of player.
That there's certainly a need, without a doubt. Now, looking at your next few games, like, this is going to be kind of a big test, what you've got coming up. You're playing the Predators in Nashville. Tuesday, you got the Caps in Washington. Thursday, the Hurricanes in Carolina. And then next Saturday, the Panthers in Florida, followed by the Lightning in Tampa. Like, this five games is going to tell you, I think, whether or not you're making the playoffs.
Absolutely, especially Nashville. I mean, I think they're like 11-0-1 in their last 12. I mean, this is a team that is surging. Why? I have no idea. Because, I mean, they're
suddenly in very much in the push for a playoff spot. And, well, potentially, depending on how their next round of games goes, they could find themselves in a divisional spot in the Central.
You got them. You got Washington Capitals, who Alexander Ovechkin finally remembered how to play hockey. So you've got that issue and the bunch of jerks on Thursday the 28th. And then you got the
Florida and Tampa. Yeah. Like, you got Florida, who's the second place team in the Atlantic right now, and Tampa Bay, who's ahead of you for the first wildcard spot.
Isn't this a weird thing where if I'm looking at those five games, I think the one shot they got against is against Tampa?
Honestly, yeah, I would agree with that entirely. Like, that's a team whose number I think you're most likely to have. We'll see how that plays out in reality, but I think this next five games is going to tell you a lot about this team and whether it's basically going to tell you whether or not they're making the playoffs. We got to hit a break. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour, and it's about that time of the week for our favorite bit that we do, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and quite frankly, I think we do a better job of this than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living. Sure, we may ruin a few lives in the process, but hey, that's showbiz, baby. Let's get right into this, shall we? Dear somebody who cares, my boyfriend of 10 years with a few breaks does not have a close relationship with his parents and really no relationship at all with his siblings. Little things have happened through the years that have upset people, and no one ever communicates or makes up with each other. He also doesn't have good relationships with his young adult daughters. They seem to have chosen their mom over him. I know it hurts him, but he doesn't feel he can do much about it. He does try to reach out with little response from them. I've gotten really frustrated with how everyone acts and the horrible communication, how badly they treat him, so I completely stay out of it. I say nothing to any of them because I barely know them anyway. Is that the right thing to do? The fact that he doesn't have a caring family hurts me too.
Stay out of it. I mean, yes. I mean, it's probably not the loving family that you're probably used to, but there's probably some underlying things there. I mean, it's you're not going to get the Hallmark movie moment that you're hoping to get. You're not going to, oh, look, we're all at the same restaurant at the same time. Let's talk it over, because that restaurant will probably be the Waffle House, and it might be a brawl.
Yeah, no one wants any part of that.
No, I mean, if you want to bridge the gap between your husband and his family, start with your husband. There's got to be some reason why all of a sudden, like, his kids want nothing to do with him. The family doesn't want to do anything to do with him. I mean, maybe you just married a POS?
I don't think that's necessarily true, because I know people who... And it's always an interesting dynamic. I feel like I see quite a bit. Like, you have the one person in the relationship who, like, my siblings are my best friends, and they get really well along with their parents and, like, extended family and things like that. And the other person just, for one reason or another, doesn't have really contact with their family. Like, I don't think it's necessarily makes them, you know, a bad person, per se. Like, no, we don't know what that family dynamic's like. There's plenty of reasons why members of the family choose not to associate with other people that they relate to. Like, the whole blood is thicker than water is not necessarily always a thing.
Well, if there is a reason, I mean, I think the writer would want to know what those are. But
I mean,
at the same time,
there could have been some like some really nasty things said between people. There could have been some abuse of some sort. Maybe you just, you know, didn't show up to a wedding even though you live on the other side of the state. Like, you know, there's always something that could very well have caused that rift that you're not going to be able to fix.
Sure. I mean, well, if there's abuse, then yes. Everything else, a nasty word here or there. I mean, I guess it would have to be, I'd have to know the context, but I don't know. I taking it at face value, I think the writer wants to stick her nose where it doesn't belong, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for your husband. It's not going to be good for the family, and you're not going to like the outcome.
Yeah.
I would just say, if it bothers you, talk to your husband about it, and let him make the appropriate decisions. Other than that, you just worry about your relationship with him and your family. That's it.
And whatever you do, don't do the thing. And we see this come up every so often. Don't do the thing where you try and contact the family members behind his back and try and set something up. Because then you're going to bring out a whole world of problems that you really did not want to find yourself dealing with.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the thing with the kids, to me, is really weird, admittedly. Like, the fact that he doesn't have a relationship with his own children. Like, that I find kind of odd. They are young adults, apparently. So there's not really a whole lot you can do there. You can't really force.
Nope.
You know, visitation there or anything.
No,
like,
no. But, I mean, that's why I said maybe check with the person you married. Because, I mean, yes, with his parents, his siblings, yeah, there's going to be things that may be said, things have been done, and or maybe they just don't have anything in common, blah, blah, blah. But his kids want nothing to do with him. You maybe need to look in the mirror and find out what kind of guy you married.
I mean, maybe that's the case.
Nobody wants to. His parents don't want anything to do with him. His siblings don't want anything to do with him. His kids don't want anything to do with him. What is going on?
Well, you know, it's also entirely possible that his family is just insane and he's just kind of protecting you from that and is done with that. Like, there's plenty of families out there that don't see anything wrong with the way they're treating people, and they absolutely pick favorites, and then, you know, that just pushes the other person away.
Honey, like, there's a brother Leatherface on the phone that wants to talk to you. No, just hang up. Sounds like there's a chainsaw in the background. Just hang up the phone.
Like, the biggest thing I can say here is just, you know, you're probably better off not getting involved. Do not get involved, in fact. Like, just let it be. Like, you married him, you like him for who he is, and if you have a problem with him, the way he's handling things, then that's a discussion to be had between you and him, but that's about it. Clearly the non-communication starts at home in some capacity.
You're not going to get the outcome that you think you're going
to
get.
No, you're not. And it's not worth it to try and force the issue. Let's go ahead and dive into one more of these, shall we?
Yep.
Dear, oh God, not them, anybody but them, can I leave my husband's family's group chat without being labeled a brat? Before we went on a group trip this summer, a chat was started between his parents, his sister, her boyfriend, his brother, my husband, and me. It has stayed live since then. I'm not exaggerating when I say there are at least 200 texts sent in the chat every day, ranging from mundane discussions about what was for breakfast to incredibly important information / decisions that need to be shared. While everyone has pretty flexible jobs where phone use is allowed, I can access my phone for 30 minutes at lunch and then at the end of the day. I don't even try to go back through the conversations that have happened because it would take my whole lunch. I have the conversation muted and generally just erased, but it's still just annoying to go check my phone after 4 hours away and have 126 missed messages. Can I leave the chat or do I need to just keep muting / erasing? If I can leave, do I specifically address it and say I'm leaving since I can never keep up anyway, or do I just ghost and never bring it up if they don't?
If you want to leave it, then yes, you need to. You should. Hey, listen. There's a lot going on here. The conversations don't really pertain to me. If you need to get in contact with me, please feel free to do so, because the conversations aren't about you. 200 messages a day, they're doing just fine without you. Don't think that you're gonna, you know, you're not going to accept them by ducking out. But I mean, be cool about it. Or I'm sure there's an option where you can, like, you know, mute the conversation.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there's, I don't know, because I mean, there's options being thrown in there all the time.
Oh, yeah, the technology is definitely changing quicker than you can keep up with it a lot of the time.
I mean, definitely don't do this, you know, hey, this I'm running away from home kind of motif. Like, oh, I'm leaving and I don't want to deal with this anymore. And also don't just, like, duck out because, like, so-and-so left the chat. Because then she's like, well, what's her problem? So
see, I have a chat going with, like, my band. Like, that's the closest thing that I have because, like, I can't, like, there would be no family group chat. That's not a thing in our world.
No.
But, like, I have an ongoing chat with, like, the band. And there's one person that seems to leave the chat fairly regularly, not by any fault of their own, just the phones just do what they do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know, like, just play it off. Like, I say you just ghost and be like, I don't know, my phone just exited the chat. I don't know what that's about. Craziest thing. I mean, don't be in any rush to add me back or anything. But I think just let it live. Group chats are, like, the worst, are the worst thing that technology ever brought upon us because it's never, it's always something incredibly stupid or it's one person that just posts a bunch of memes you don't care about 90% of the time.
Yeah, but you have the choice to ignore those. I have no problem with group chats because I know from doing band work before there were group chats of having to make three separate phone calls to band members. That was so frustrating.
That was a pain.
I love the group chats, but you as the user can choose to ignore some of those.
I will straight up, like, if it's not something, it's like. Like I said, if it's a band or something that I'm in, or it's something for some sort of project I'm working on, that's different. If it's just I get added to a group chat from someone who just spams everybody I will leave those so quick it'll make your head spin.
Oh, absolutely.
Every single time.
But I mean, if the whole premise of the group is for a common goal, whether it's, you know, a fantasy team or a band or just a group of friends from high school or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to click like on everything. You don't have to check. There's a group that I'm in that we used to be a band years ago. We haven't played anywhere since 2019. They're posting stuff all the time. And I was like, you know, thumbs up or a lot of it's how's things going? I mean, and that's fine. This writer, if she doesn't want to be part of it, she doesn't have to. Don't be a jerk about it. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm peacing out of this one because my phone's dinging a lot at work and I could get in trouble. You know, just say something like that. You know, I'm not contributing in any way. So, you know, if there's anything that you guys want to know about for, like, you know, holidays or whatever, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you. Other than that, deuces.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I still say that's one where ghosting might just be justified here. Like, it's like this isn't an airport. You don't need to announce your departure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's a family thing where you're talking, if there's mothers,
like, everybody, I'm leaving the family. Goodbye.
Yeah. But at the same time, mothers-in-law involved and cousins, everything else. I'm just like, so and so left the chat. So, well, what's her problem? It's not like, I'm leaving because I'm mad about this. I'm leaving. You're cool. I hate you. I hate you. You're cool. It's, you know, hey, I don't want to be a jerk about it. I'm out of here. Leaving the door open. If you need to get in contact with me, feel free to send me a message. But other than that, Peaches.
I don't need this in my life.
I don't need it.
I don't need all of your... I don't need all these ridiculous conversations about what you had for breakfast this morning.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go into, you know, details or everything. It's like, I don't care if so-and-so cut teeth or they're walking or they're riding a bike. I don't care. Unless they get hit by a car, then let me know. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I am out of here.
Yeah, that's probably not necessarily the way to go about it. But
and you crazy Aunt Edna, who keeps sending me all, like, the chain mail, if they don't send this to, like, 25 people, Jesus is going to come down and kick your butt.
I mean, I guess you take the tactic of posting things that are so obnoxious that they just kick you out of the group chat, whichever. You know, whatever works for you, I guess. I think we got time to do one more of these real quick. Dear, do people still read these? My son is a college graduate with a job as a bartender. I feel embarrassed when people ask me what he does for a living. Help me.
Say that again.
My son with a college graduate degree is a bartender. I get embarrassed when people ask me what he does for a living.
What's his degree in?
It doesn't say. That's the entirety of the letter. Yeah,
can he make more bartending than he is in his chosen field? Because I know of some people that they got into the whole service industry, and it can be very lucrative.
Yes, it can.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't allow you a lot of things like, you know, paid time off, vacations, and sick days and things of that nature, but you can make some really good money at it if you're good at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, more than you'll make with your degree in, you know, medieval studies or whatever.
And that's what a lot of is. A lot of it is, like, if they majored in, like, communications or something, not putting it down because we're kind of working in the communications field.
I say, but you technically have a degree in communications, don't you,
yeah,
Mr. Spexhauer?
Yeah, it's doing so well for me, too. I mean,
really got you far.
If the person is like, you know, okay, so I dated somebody who she majored in philosophy with a minor in women's studies, yeah, and she was working in the Bavarian Inn. I mean, that's the way.
I mean, some of these, like, I really question what can you do with this kind of degree other than teach, basically.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know people who are taking classes in industries where it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of job prospects other than to go back to college and, you know, continue the cycle, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the things where there is that argument between a four-year degree and trade school. Like, when I was graduating high school in 1992, it was, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing without a four-year degree. You will be selling oranges on the highway if you don't get a four-year degree. They didn't say anything about heating and cooling, welding, plumbing, all this stuff.
And yeah, they'll tell you that, you know, trade school is, you know, a lot of the time going to get you a more lucrative gig than what you're getting out of that four-year college degree. It's also probably going to be a lot more work than a lot of those gigs.
Yeah.
But, I mean you're going to be making good money.
Somebody graduating high school, college with a four-year degree right now, they got a six-figure loan that they got to pay off. Meanwhile, you're making at least a good solid five figures, close to six, becoming a journeyman in the skills trades, but they don't tell you that. And then that's why in high schools, a lot of times the colleges will have offices right there in your high school just to try to get you to, hey, come on over to U of M, come over here to Michigan, let's go over to Spartans.
It's because they're trying to do that and make
absolutely
get their money, get your tuition money, basically.
As opposed to somebody who's like, oh, I run a heating and cooling business, and no, we're good. We need more people to major in sociology.
Yeah, that's where the real money's at is sociology. Again, it's basically the kind of thing where the only way you're getting a gig, making decent money at it, is by teaching
sociology, yeah.
But back to the actual issue at hand, which is that this woman's embarrassed that her kid's a bartender.
Oh, yeah,
are we sure that my mom didn't send this question in, like, for real here? But
maybe.
Like, my son's a bartender who also does radio on the side, and I don't know what to tell people when they ask what he does for a living, because you make money doing either one. But
you're trying to make your son to be a social badge for you. Okay, you're thinking about this all wrong. Is your son putting food on the table? Is your son keeping a roof over his head? Is he happy? Then back off. Who cares what your friends think of you about your son?
Right. It's not like you. At some point, you don't have the ability to direct what he's going to do with his life, so you can't, your parents, your friends, I guess, can't be that judgmental of you because of what he's doing. He's a grown adult that's making his own decisions, and
there
apparently making decent money doing it,
yeah.
So I fail to see, really, ultimately, what the issue here is. Like, I guess just get over yourself would be my advice.
I mean, Oh, my son. Oh, he's a curator at a museum, and everyone's like, oh, a museum that works on for a museum for ancient washing machines. Basically, just 1950s washing machines, sewing machines. A great museum. It's open Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. But he's a curator.
I don't think you have to lie to your friends about what your kid does for
a living. I mean, if he did that, he'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of stupid.
I don't think they'd necessarily care or judge all that much. And quite frankly, I think people put a lot too much stock in other people's opinion of what they're doing for a living anyway. I mean, we know people who are making decent money and paying on their house working as janitors.
Yeah, like, they're...
We've got a buddy here who works, you know, in the janitorial arts and is making his house payment every month, like owns a house. Like, I don't see the issue with, oh, because it's not a socially acceptable, responsible job, but yet you have a house of your own. Like, what's the problem? Yeah,
this has been the class war that we're dealing with the class war right now, especially when it comes to those dreaded burger flippers. But this is the way it's always been. What do we always hear, like, from the 50s through on now? Is it, oh, if you don't do this right, if you don't get a good degree in school, you're going to be a ditch digger. You're going to be a trash man. You're going to have to...
Garfield makes some decent money,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know, right?
They make better money than we do in radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead, I work clerical at a courthouse making barely minimum wage. So much better than the guy who is a plumber who's working on my house right now.
And making, like, double the money that I do, basically. So... No, the advice here is, like, just get over yourself with your issues with your kid who's clearly seemingly making enough money to keep a roof over their head, and just, you know, suck it up. Deal with it, the fact that he's not working a job that you find, you know, particularly professionally great. He's got his life together, right?
Yes.
He's keeping food on his table and a roof over his head.
Yep.
So get over your embarrassment because he didn't end up as a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it is that your problem is.
Yeah,
anyway, exactly. We're well overdue for a break. It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Well, shall we take another look at the latest on Deathstorm 2024? Let's go ahead and do that. You're looking at probably another inch or two of snow before all is said and done here today. High getting up to around 30 today. Tonight, snow this evening will yield to mostly cloudy skies late in the evening. Looks like snow should basically be done by about 10 o'clock. Low tonight of 22. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 34 and a low of 18. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 38 and a low of 29. And then for Monday, cloudy with a high of 52 and a low of 44, which means all this crap will be gone, and I'll be entirely good with that. Right now, you're at 31 in Flint, 30 in the Tri-Cities, 27 in lovely downtown Lapeer under cloudy skies with the Struts at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and, you know, it really seems like every time we hear about, like, a major fight going on anymore...
A boxing match,
usually. It's always between either two people who are completely irrelevant and not qualified to be the world champion of anything, or between two guys who have been retired from the sport for like a decade. This time, we get the best of both worlds, evidently.
Yeah, you got Jake Paul.
The kid from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, Aaron Paul. Jake Paul. Going against Iron Mike Tyson. Jake Paul, he's 29, and he is doing the work. This guy is sort chiseled. He can fight against
fight against YouTubers and retired UFC fighters
who
can't strike worth a damn.
Well, he's about to get some good competition because he's going against a perennial heavyweight champion in Mike Tyson, who is 56. Something like that.
Again, can't fight someone your own age, can't fight someone your own size. here, let's go fight an old man. Well, I mean, an old man that I think could still absolutely take him in a fair fight, yeah, but an old man nonetheless.
I think...
57 years old.
57 years old. And we've seen Mike Tyson. I mean, you see pictures or footage of him training. He's still got it. You see pictures of Jake Paul training, and he's doing well. But you know, here's the thing is, and we talked about conspiracies yesterday. I think the fix is in.
Well, of course it is. It has been in boxing since, like, the beginning of time.
Yeah, ever since the mob got in control of it in the 1950s. No. The mob did not have any control over boxing in the 40s and 50s. Okay, no. Everything was completely legit.
Just apologize to the mob now?
Please do. Make sure that at the very end, so that's the last apology that we hear. But, I mean, a lot of people have... kind of agreed with me to where they're like, oh, Tyson's just in it for the money. He's going to take a dive. And Tyson's like, I don't need the money. I'm going to knock this kid's block off. And then you've got Jake Paul doing his best WWE impression going out there. Oh, yeah, I talked to Mike Tyson and he called me my brother's name. We don't even look alike. I'm going to get you, brother.
No one cares. Yeah. Absolutely nobody cares.
So this is happening in July. It's going to be over at
where the Golden Knights play in Vegas?
No, it's in Texas.
This is going to be at the Jerry Dome.
Yes, that's where that Jerry Dome.
Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. Yeah, yep. This should be interesting. Well, he's actually finally fighting someone his own size because Tyson also weighs in it as a heavyweight. And Jake Paul is like about 200 pounds, which would put him solidly in heavyweight territory as well. So there's at least that, I guess. And it looks like it's going to be live streaming on Netflix.
Netflix, that's a weird one. As opposed to like, you know, paying HBO $80 to watch 2 minutes of a fight. So, I mean, I'll sit back and watch it.
That's my next question. Is it actually going to be available for free, or are they still going to try and do it like as a pay-per-view thing? Like, oh, I'm kind of curious.
It's probably going to be a pay-per-view kind of thing.
Because I don't know that that's a thing that Netflix has. Do they have the capacity to do that sort of thing? I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure they're figuring it out. Because, I mean, there's a lot of money to be paid to both fighters to make this happen.
These are not like these ridiculous fights that seem to happen like every like couple years or so. Like, yeah, these are the biggest revenue generators, and you know these guys are probably getting paid tens of millions of dollars to participate
just to get in the ring.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, you know, Mike Tyson. Everybody's like, he's like, oh, I've got the money and blah blah blah. But does he though? Because I mean, he's other than the Hangover movies, What has he done? I saw that one footage of him beating up somebody in a plane that was upsetting him.
He's got more money than either of us do still.
Oh, guaranteed that. Absolutely.
I mean, granted, we work doing this.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, so maybe he does need the money. Maybe the fix is in, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll go 10 rounds, and then by judge's decision, it's going to go to Jake Paul.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen here. I honestly believe, like, he's just going to kind of toy with him, and it's going to be a judge's decision scored. Although, even then, it's kind of hard to say, I feel, because there's no way that Tyson's pride would allow him to lose.
Tyson is still an animal.
Yes.
He really is. I mean, he's done time. I mean, he's exactly what you want in a fighter. I mean, the guy, you'd see him going against, what was it, George Foreman. I mean, the bout lasted like maybe a minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, they were both being managed by, you know, Don King. But, I mean, that's that's no big deal.
Do you have to apologize to Don King now,
he's
too?
He's dead. Who cares?
That's fair.
But, I mean, Mike Tyson in his prime, and I'm not taking him out of his prime. I'm not saying that he can't do any damage right now. I wouldn't mess with him.
I wouldn't mess with 57-year-old Mike Tyson right now.
No. Mike Tyson in the 90s, when he bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. Jake Paul wants to get in a ring with him. Good luck, YouTuber. Hit like and subscribe because you're about to lose an ear.
Yeah, I don't like his odds really at all. But that's when this is going to end up being like a... Like, they're going to say, like, oh, this is an exhibition fight. We're not really judging. They're just... They're going to go the distance. There's not going to be an actual winner, and it's not going to count for anything.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it is.
You're being set up to be disappointed yet again, ultimately.
The fix is in. I'm telling you. It sucks. I mean, Jake and Logan Paul, this is who we're having to deal with in the world of boxing. Boxing used to be huge in, like, 40s, 50s, 60s.
And you'd still see even 70s, into the Muhammad 90s Ali, when Tyson was in his peak.
Tyson brought back boxing back in.
And then it hasn't been relevant basically the entirety of the last two decades.
Yep.
Outside of just ridiculous super fights and exhibitions between old guys like the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight.
Exactly, right.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Jake Paul is somehow making the sport relevant again right now. Like, he's the only reason that anyone cares about boxing at the present time.
Yeah. I mean, you talk to a boxing fan there, they probably...
hate the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And as well they should, because he's basically making a mockery of the entire sport. Like, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that, you know, 90% of boxing fans hate the fact that this guy is coming in here acting like he's king you-know-what because he fought a couple YouTubers. He fought... You know, what was it? He fought a...
Nate Robinson.
He did fight Nate Robinson, a retired basketball player who's like 20 years older than he is.
Yeah.
He went and fought Ben Askren, a guy that has no stand-up game whatsoever. Nope. Tyron Woodley, same thing, basically. Tommy Fury, who basically only is relevant because his brother is the heavyweight champion of the world, not because of anything he's actually done. And then Nate Diaz, who also, again, not a boxer. Like, he's fought a bunch of people that aren't boxers up to this point.
Yep.
And is acting like he's the real deal, man.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to this only to in the hope that Iron Mike will show him what's up finally.
Like, dude, exactly.
Dude's going to be looking like Glass Joe by the time Tyson's done with him.
Ah, Tyson punch out reference. Awesome.
One can only hope that's the case anyway.
Nicely done.
But you know that the problem is, the second he loses to a real fighter, even one who's, in this case, 30 years older than him, the charade's over. And people go back to not giving a damn about boxing. Therein lies the problem. Is like you kind of need this clown show to keep the sport relevant and keep people caring about it at all. Because I guarantee you, if you were to go out right now and ask 10 random dudes on the street who's the current heavyweight champion of the world, I guarantee you that you'd be lucky to get one who could tell you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, be like, Sugar Ray Leonard? No, he's been, I think he's dead.
He might actually be dead.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, like, no one's going to be able to tell you that because that's how irrelevant the sport has become. Like,
is it Pacquiao?
He's also retired.
Yeah.
So, no, I believe it's currently, Tyson Fury, I believe, still holds one title at present, at least. I could be wrong about that. Someone will have to go and...
Tyson Fury, I thought he was a running back for the Cardinals.
I had that wrong. He's the morning guy at WMIC. I apologize to Tyson Fury, Eddie Fury, Tommy Fury. Good Lord. We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Happy hour.
Hey, what's going on? Adam Harahuck here, Sean Cantwell over there, and It's Friday, so some, believe it or not, there used to be a time when Fridays meant the new movies are coming out. Well, the new movie Ghostbusters Frozen Empire opens today in theaters. Spoiler alert, I'm going to be playing the Ghostbusters theme at the start of sessions. That starts at 6 p.m.
on Solid State Radio or 11 o'clock on the Thumb's Greatest Hits, 97.7 WTGV.
Absolutely. Now, the reviews are coming in from the critics, quote unquote, and it's not looking favorable. But I mean, let's face it. What's going to get you more clicks on your article? So when you say you like it or that you hate it? I mean, it's the negativity sells.
Hating on things is the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, it's basically what we built an entire radio empire on.
Yeah. You see, so many people are like, oh, well, I liked the first one. I didn't like the Ghostbusters 2 that came out in 1989. I didn't like the cartoon. I didn't like the Afterlife one. I didn't like the one that came out in 2016. How about you just sit back, relax, and say, you like the one movie, and leave it at that?
I feel like a lot of people did not like the 2016. Like, we heard a lot of people who were rather vocally outspoken about that, mostly because they replaced the main cast with
women.
With women. And of course, that's always naturally going to be a thing that's going to fire up a certain demographic of dudes who absolutely hate any time women get to be the lead in anything.
Yeah. They want to keep the women down. But I'm gonna,
so what's the problem with the new one?
I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I am going to say that with that 2016 one, I didn't like it. And it wasn't because of women, because I love the cast that was in there. I am an SNL junkie. I love Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so you love you some Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, Christine Wiig, and then you get Melissa McCarthy in there. My problem with the 2016 movie was, first of all, it had probably the best special effects I'd ever seen in a Ghostbusters movie, so I'm going to put that there.
Fair.
But it was written as a chick flick. Yes, you were messing with ghosts and stuff like that, but there was also the subplot of you have two people who used to be friends and now they're not friends anymore, and then they got to become friends again, and how there's a heartbreaking music that's going on, and then you have the obligatory moment where they lip sync to an old song, and it was just so contrived. It was frustrating. Then they bring in Liam Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth. They're the same person to me.
Chris Hemsworth,
and he is the receptionist. And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn that tired old trope up on its ear where they hire the bimbo person because they look good as opposed to being able to do the job good. So they hire Chris Hemsworth as his character as the receptionist, but supposedly he doesn't know how to hold a phone, and he makes the stupidest comments ever, and it just didn't.
Well, I think that was kind of the idea. Yeah.
I mean, anybody would know how to use a phone. I mean, but then the thing with me is, I keep hearing like the old cast was going to be in there, but they made it sound like they just discovered the Ghostbusters technology, leaving nothing for us who were the OG Ghostbusters.
Like, none of them played the same characters as they did in the originals.
No, they came in. It was just kind of like they played a different character. It was kind of like seeing somebody that you used to hang out with in elementary school, were best friends with, when you waved to them and they looked at you and didn't even acknowledge you. That's the way I felt when they had brought in Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Ernie to come in there and play different characters. I mean, I didn't like that movie all the way around. Afterlife, it wasn't set in New York City, so I was a little off of that one. But I mean, I still thought it was a good film. I want to see this one. They bring everybody back.
It's back in New York City. You know, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson are in it as their actual characters from the original.
Yes, they are. And then you brought in Paul Rudd and
Paul Rudd, Finn Wolfhard, and apparently Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt's in there. Okay. I like Patton Oswalt. So
I like him in most things, certainly.
I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. I really am. I'll check it out. But some people just got to understand that we've had a nostalgia push the last maybe 10 years. They brought back Star Wars. They brought back Indiana Jones. They brought back this, and they brought back Transformers and everything else. And everybody's expecting, oh my God, I should feel like I'm young again. it's not always for you. They also have to think about a new crowd,
demographic. Audience.
Yes. So, you know what? Instead of worrying about it making you feel like you're 10 years old again, why don't you just sit back, eat some popcorn, and watch the movie?
Enjoy it or don't, whatever.
Yeah. Come at me after you watch the movie. And the movie critics, first of all, movie critics didn't like Empire Strikes Back when it first came out, and it has been widely deemed as the best Star Wars film of all time. So just don't listen to the critics. Watch the movie for yourself.
Yeah, you don't put a lot of stock in the people who actually get paid to review movies for a living.
No, they try to make it things. They'll sit there and watch a Pixar movie or a Disney movie and just really try to find the social aspect of it. No, just sit back and watch the movie. Just relax. It doesn't always have to be a social commentary involved. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to try to find the hidden agenda in everything.
Fair. Well, with the little bit of time that we have left, we got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of, maybe a little bit more so now. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Aaron Paul, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, The Mob, Don King, Tommy Fury, Tyson Fury, Eddie Fury, and movie critics. We're sorry. We're sorry adjacent, at least. That's about to do it for us, though. Tune in up next. A full hour of local original something or other happens here at Solstice Radio.
Music, local original music.
Is that what you do now?
That's right. More Michigan-made music than anywhere else.
What's coming up tonight on Sessions, Adam?
Now, Blue Sky Riley, you may remember her. She was in studio with me over the summer. Well, she's back, and she's brought her entire band. It's going to be a lot of fun.
She has a whole band now?
Yes,
and
she does.
She named the band after herself.
Yeah, well, I think maybe it might be some handlers involved, but right. Why not?
Well, that should be a good time. So do stick around for that coming up next here at your local alternative South State Radio. And, of course, Adam will be back here Saturday night.
Yes.
Play Irish music with Drew at 8 o'clock and then 3 hours of local original yada, yada, yada from 9 to midnight. You have fun with that. And then, of course, sound check tonight at 7. Anthony Lee will be taking you the rest of the way starting at 8. Me? I'm out of here till Sunday. You guys have fun. Go Golden Grizzlies. All that good stuff. We'll talk to you Monday afternoon at 3, give or take. See ya.